Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, before we get to the good, the bad, and the dumb, reminder that everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It's important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever is a sign of COVID-19, so stay safe with the Exergen temporal scanner. All right, Mr. Culver, the good of the day on a Wednesday.
Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia did a great job.
It's excellent a force story. To be reckoned with.
Excellent story.
If you haven't heard, the Bills Mafia banded together. Well, let's back it up a little bit. Saturday of last week, Josh Allen's grandmother passed away.
Right.
Then Josh Allen went out and performed awesome.
I mean, counted for four touchdowns.
Yeah, 400 plus yards against a good Seahawks team, a team many predict to be Super Bowl contenders.
That's right.
And so because of that, his grandmother passed away. They took charge and decided to start donating to a children's hospital in the amount of $17, which is Josh Allen's number. So far, since Sunday, they've already amassed over $200,000.
That's what I'm talking about, right? That you don't have to. You don't say, "Hey, donate as much as you can." You say, "Hey, look, to honor Josh Allen and his grandmother, donate $17." And if you are a Bills fan, it's inexpensive enough that you can afford it, even if you kind of had some troubling times. And it's something you are fear of missing out on, right? You want, as a Bills fan, you're like, "Yeah, of course, I want to I want to join the chorus of my brothers and sisters in the Bills Mafia doing this." And you can raise a ton of money that way.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's funny because as much much grief that we give Bills Mafia for the amount of tables they ruin.
Right.
You know, then they go and do something like this. And it's like, oh, how are we going to make fun of you?
I think more charity drives or calls for charity should do things like this.
Yeah.
Where instead of saying donate what you can, because people are like, "Well, I can only afford $25 and that's not enough." But if you say right away, "Guys, it's $23 in honor of this number or this situation," or this, like, if you put it in perspective, like, "All we're looking for is donate $17, like in this case, then people go, "Well, I can afford that. And I can say I contributed to this great Bills Mafia moment."
Now, maybe if you're going to donate to a charity that's maybe spearheaded by Cam Newton, maybe you want to up it.
Yeah, you do want to up it. Yeah, you know, don't necessarily go. Don't do a dollar, but find something else that Cam Newton has done remarkable in his life.
Or another equals, number.
Or another number. Or something else.
Yeah. But I mean, it's
like
same
maybe he threw 37 touchdowns one year and you go down that road or something. I don't know.
Does that work though? Or are we just desensitized for, you know, less than a cup of coffee a day?
We are.
You could feed these starving kids in the third world country.
Exactly. But I think there's a psychological aspect to it when people tell you it's like a lot of people can't afford $100 or $200.
And so they turned off immediately. I wouldn't do it.
You know what I mean? And then a lot of these drives, like you see them on GoFundMe where it's like, they're like looking for $25,000 and you're like, "I can only give $10. But if somebody tells you it's okay to give $10, in fact, that's all they're really looking for, then it makes you go, "Well, awesome."
Yeah. Honestly, they didn't really have a goal set either.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see what
happens.
Just in honor of Josh Allen's late grandmother.
That's great.
See what you can do.
That's awesome. And I bet that continues to, will that continue to climb or do they cut it off? Or
I think
it just continues to roll.
Why would they stop it?
Why would they stop it?
That gravy train is going to keep on rolling. I mean, eventually it'll just fizzle out and the children's hospital's got to be happy with what they got.
Absolutely. That's great. But good for Bill's Mafia.
Yes. So. Weird for us to say. Usually they don't land in the good.
That's true. All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and I'm really worried about this, Tony.
Yes.
But 3 to 4 years from now, the Mets might actually be a good team.
This is according to Steve Cohen, right?
And not carry any of the issues that we've come to love.
I need them to be more Metsy. Yes. I don't want them to be less Metsy. I like them when they're Metsy.
Is that term going to be outdated soon? Yeah. Are we going to have to retire it?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be, or can we still use that verb, but we're going to be using it on other teams? Like, "Oh, the Marlins pulled such a Metsy thing."
Right. Right. But now the Mets are comfortably leading the NL East, right?
Yes.
But we still use Metsy in a way to remember the good old days.
He hasn't came out and said, "Yeah, I'm going to shop till I drop," but he isn't really opposed to that idea. that he's going to put the. I mean, listen, his first act as Mets as the Mets owner was brilliant. I mean, he got rid of everybody.
He got rid of everybody. That's what you got to do. Look, I always find it interesting, and it's not only business, but it does happen in sports a lot, where a new owner comes in, and initially, right away, they say things like, "Well, he's not expected to fire this guy, this guy, this guy." But what happens? Eventually he does.
Yes.
Because when you buy the team, you absolutely want your people in it. You don't, unless you're buying the Patriots and Bill Belichick as your coach, very few people in the sports world are safe when a new owner buys a team. Even if you're good at your job, he just wants to find somebody that's good as you are, but also his choice. He will always look at you as somebody he did not hire. And when you got billions in the bank, you want people that you hire to run whatever business you're in, including sports teams. So yeah, good for him. Everybody gone.
Yes.
Everybody out of here. Brody Wagonen, goodbye. See you later.
Yeah, we barely knew your last
barely
name.
Knew you. So, you know, I mean,
but this is, I don't know if I'm comfortable with the new look Mets. I mean,
I like how he said that the Mets will act like a major market team. That's an absolute shot at the previous owners who did not treat it as a, like, you're in the number one market in the, even if you're the second team in the city.
Yeah.
And again, we talk about this all the time with the Mets. It's not like the Lakers, like where the Lakers own the city and then the Clippers get some residue. The Mets have a fan base of Dodger and Giant fans who don't like the Yankees. There is a good portion of the New York metropolitan area that does not like the Yankees.
Yes.
And so that's why they're Mets fans. They're Mets fans because their fathers, maybe their fathers before them, who cried when the Giants left, cried when the Dodgers left, grabbed onto this Mets team in 1962 because they were never going to root for the Yankees, ever. And so he's got that, and yet the previous ownership went, we're like the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, we don't have any money. Like, we don't doing anything. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't, they're so just
good for him.
They're just sitting on piles of cash.
They are.
You just sit there and go, New York is in our first name. And that's all you need.
That's all you need.
And you can do anything you want.
Exactly. Good for him.
And why wouldn't any great player want to go to that market? Because that only enhances their visibility.
Of course.
Unless you're someone like Mike Trout, who's like, no, I'm fine in Anaheim.
Now, I gotta say, the Mets were in the World Series 5 years ago.
They were.
You know, I don't want to rip them too much.
Yes, but since then, they've given us plenty.
They acted like it was a flash in the pan, right? I mean, they just went there and then goodbye. They haven't won a World Series since 86. I mean, give me a break.
I know.
I mean, they were there in 2000 with the Yankees. And then,
I can't really complain about that.
That's true, you know, but you just got one.
We just got one, so we're okay. And we've been to a bunch. We just couldn't win it, but finally we did.
Absolutely. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Bear with me here.
Okay.
Pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly has received emergency approval from the FDA for its monoclonal antibody treatment for coronavirus.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but go ahead.
They pretty much, Eli Lilly is being fast-tracked because they have an antibody that's very effective against coronavirus.
Is this a vaccine? Is this similar to what Pfizer has?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's similar to that. It's
I literally know nothing about this industry, so I'm going to ask questions like I'm five.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
And you might be wondering, why do I have a drug that could cure all in the dumb of the day?
Right. Yeah, that sounds good.
It's the name of the drug.
What's the name of the drug?
I'm going to butcher this, but bamlanivimab.
Can we shorten that to something awesome?
I have so many questions that no one can answer. Like, why this name? Why can't we call, hey, superpower drug?
Yeah.
Why bamlanivimab?
Or dynamite vitamin.
Right.
Or something like that, like in a bubblegum tasting gummy.
Something that just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, like Flintstone vitamins.
I mean, obviously this is the, you know, the pharmaceutical name. They'll have like a generic name that we'll call it, that we'll come to love, like, you know, Tylenol or something like that.
Sure.
But the drug is it's bamlanivimab.
Again, I'm going to ask like it's bamlanivimab. I'm going to act like I'm 5. Where do these names come from?
Good question.
Like, when I get a prescription, and every time I get a prescription, I look and it's like It's like a Scrabble grand champion word, right? It's like this thing has 23 consonants and 5 vowels. And I think to myself, where does it come from? Like, where, why are we naming things that are 27 letters long?
Yeah, exactly.
Like when you create a drug and you settle in and you go, okay, what is this? Why isn't it simplistic? There's a good reason for it, I'm sure. Again, I know nothing about this.
Yeah. I mean, this drug is great. I mean, it's shown to reduce COVID-19 related hospitalization or emergency room visits in patients. So, I mean, this is progressive stuff. This is what we've been looking for.
Right, sure.
All this time. And all this time, they finally just came up with the name Bam Lama Lanavimab.
It better not be confused with another Bam Lama Lama Ding Dong so that you get the wrong drug.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
But I mean, if this is where names are going, we're in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because what do? You just add more letters to it, right?
Yeah, just keep adding letters until nobody can pronounce it at all.
That's why it's dumb, because we just come up with an easy name for us.
Are we close to this thing being like vaccinated? That company and Pfizer and
see, this is the way I always look at it. I always look at movies like I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Right. Remember what was the whole beginning part of that movie is that they found a miracle drug that cured cancer. And I think it was fast tracked through the FDA. They didn't do all the necessary tests, and they didn't wait long enough. And so everyone took this miracle drug that cured cancer. And what happened? Well, the people who took the drug turned into these mindless zombies.
Right.
That were super fast, superhuman strength. They just couldn't be in sunlight or daylight, whatever, right?
So
I always think that that's what's happening.
Yeah, okay.
That, yeah. They keep testing and testing and testing to make sure that there's no side effect that creates zombies.
Do you think they joke about that in testing? Like, well, no zombies
probably
today.
I hope
the
so.
The rats didn't turn on each other with fangs and claws. Yeah. Any vampire rabbits since we injected them last week, Bob? Anything like that? You think they joke about that?
I know.
They probably do. To just break up the monotony of looking in microscopes and petri dishes all day?
They gotta, maybe they have like little bunny foo-foo sitting over there in the corner that they test these things. And like, yeah. Hey, look, he's not bunicula yet.
Exactly, right?
He's still white and fluffy and he looks peaceful.
Hey, Bob, come over here for a second. I may not have found the cure for coronavirus, but I've got the cure for you being annoying. Just little jokes like that, I think, would break up the monotony of what they do.
You got to.
Right?
You got to.
Oh, that's funny. I heard that Tuesday. Right?
I had a friend when I lived in San Diego who was a pharmacist who made drugs. And, he was cool. But I remember he got together with a group of his buddies. And I was like, these are the people you hang out with? Man, this is sad. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I feel like I can get along with anybody, but I could not get along with one person.
Yeah, I know.
I just sat and looked around. I'm like, God. But I will say this. He always made the best chocolate chip cookies.
I'm sure he did.
Because they were measured to the letter of whatever ingredient he was putting in.
That's what they say baking is all about. Perfect measurements.
Yep.
If you're accurate with that kind of thing, you can be a good baker.
It was like, you can bake anytime. His wife that's was like, right. I let him do all the baking because he fantastic. Gets it perfect every Great. Single time.
All right. That's the, all right. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call. Hey, Will Gray, golfchannel.com is joining us in 15 minutes. We'll talk about the Masters. Touch a little bit on that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.